Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Ag Pro podcast here on Farm Journal Radio. I'm your host, Ashley Davenport. With me today, you might recognize this fella from Twitter. He is the Badger Crop Doc, Dr. Damon Smith. He is the Associate Professor and Extension Specialist for the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Damon, thank you so much for being on this morning.
You bet. My pleasure.
So, Damon, can you just give us a little bit of what you've been seeing during the planting season, the growing season, and how harvest is going for these guys up in Wisconsin?
Yeah, the planting season actually went reasonably well for much of the state. I mean, we had some issues here and there, but we were able to get things mostly in on time. We did turn off a little cool and wet after soybeans went in, which I think led to some issues with sudden death syndrome in the southern part of the state. That typically is a problem in years where it turns off a little wetter and cooler after planting. But overall, the crops moved pretty fast this year compared to the last couple of seasons. We had the accumulation of heat units that pushed things along. When you looked at corn, we were probably, you know, easily 2 weeks ahead here in Wisconsin for much of the season. So things looked really good. And then August hit. We had a lot of rain here. And that just started a whole slew of issues, especially on corn, where we've had quite a few disease problems move in, foliar disease problems, and now we're seeing some stalk problems and also some ear rot problems on corn. Soybeans, we had a really good crop, I mean, going along all the season. Like I said, we had a little bit of sudden death syndrome, and then up in the northeastern part of the state, a little bit of white mold, but some of the yields I've been seeing, you know, in fields where people have been able to get some soybeans out, yields have been actually really good on soybean. Now my fear is with the wet weather, just trying to get those beans out, and I'm hoping we don't get a lot of shattering because things are going to have to sit for a while we wait for this rain to get through.
This system, I feel like, has just been so slow moving, but like you said, you guys had a lot of rain this growing season. I remember seeing on the news that Madison was flooded, what, tail end of July, August, somewhere around there?
Yeah, it was early to mid-August. We had torrential downpours here one day. We had substantial amounts of rain with flooding. We had roads out. Roads are still out in some areas, in fact, due to damage. But we had reports just this morning for since August here in the Madison area, we've had over 20 inches of rain since the beginning of August. And I mean, it's just,
wow.
It's just been really, really wet season. And that's really causing some complicated issues here as we try to harvest the crop.
I know you touched on white mold, but what have been some of the other issues in sudden death syndrome that you have been seeing throughout this growing season and into harvest?
Yeah. So when we look at corn, you know, we've had a new disease, actually, bacterial leaf streak in corn here in Wisconsin. It's been in some of the other states in, you know, surrounding Wisconsin over the past couple of seasons. But this year was the first year we had that particular problem pop up. It was fairly isolated. We think it was relegated to a specific field and a particular hybrid in that field, and it didn't move out much past that. But what really stole the show, especially on corn this year, has been tar spot. Relatively new foliar disease. We've had it in Wisconsin now since 2016. But this year was the first year that it moved in early enough and in a substantial enough epidemic that it really did cause some issues for a lot of our growers, especially in the southwestern and southern third of the state. We've seen some pretty substantial issues. Throw in a little gray leaf spot and some northern corn leaf blight on top of that and corn, and we've had some really significant foliar problems that I think have also contributed to some of the loss in stalk integrity that we've seen in corn here as of late. What happens in corn is once that foliar capacity gets compromised in terms of photosynthates, the ear will start to scavenge resources back out of the stalk, and so we get a loss in stalk integrity. And that was just sort of exacerbated with the speed at which the crop matured this year and then these foliar disease problems. So, you know, the concern now is just trying to get this crop out of the fields, and we're wrestling rain, and we've seen a lot of stalk lodging already and issues with just trying to pick up this corn crop.
And that stalk integrity, I have heard it's not just a Wisconsin thing. I went out to Nebraska in September, and stock quality out there was bad. I was talking to my dad. We farm in northern Indiana, and some of the fields around here, stalk integrity hasn't been good. It's almost as if you sneeze and that stalk will snap in half. So this is just a widespread issue.
It is. My colleagues in the North Central here, we've been having conference calls with the plant pathologists here in the Upper Midwest, and you know, everybody's seeing the same sorts of issues. Again, I think a lot of it was just the crop was pushing so hard, and we had the weather just set up for some of these pathogens, and it was sort of a perfect storm. We're not even seeing it relegated to a particular hybrid. It seems, you know, across genetics, we're seeing, you know, these issues. So it's just really an environment, you know, and the way the crop pushed this year and the way things just set up for us.
I have heard more about that this year than in years past. Now, going back to talk on black tar spot, it's been an issue. I know it's been an issue in Illinois. We're seeing some in Indiana, all the way up in Wisconsin. And this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it started in Latin America. And how do you think it worked its way up this way?
You know, there's a lot of speculation on how it got to the U.S. I don't think we'll ever probably really know. One of the hypotheses is that several years ago, 2015, when it was first identified in Indiana and Illinois and some isolated fields in those two states, that there was a tropical system that moved over Mexico and brought inoculum up. That's one hypothesis. But, you know, the organism can survive on stalks and leaves and residue, and so there could have been some sort of inadvertent residue movement with feed supplies, who knows, but some way the organism made it here to the Upper Midwest. It is able to survive here, and we've seen since 2015, we've seen, of course, the area expand to multiple states here in the Upper Midwest, including Wisconsin, and of course, this year, we saw the severity really pick up in terms of the epidemic. And we, you know, really the epicenter seems to be southwest Wisconsin and northeast Illinois. That kind of is the epicenter of the epidemic where a lot of the damage is being done. And I think, you know, this year, again, the weather set up in such a way that it was really conducive for that particular fungus. We probably don't have a lot of inherent resistance out there because it is such a new disease, and so some hybrids are susceptible. And so when you have a susceptible hybrid, you got the pathogen and you got that environment, you complete that disease triangle, and that's what really set up for us this year to have the epidemic we did.
Damon, there are guys out there that grow corn for their livestock. Is this anything that they need to be concerned about, like vomitoxin and harming their livestock, or is it still too early to tell?
Well, we're working on that with Dr. Nathan Klucheski down at Illinois, myself and my lab and Dr. Klucheski's lab. And we, at this point, the organisms that have been implicated with this tar spot disease, they are not known to produce mycotoxins themselves. With that said, I do have concerns about mycotoxins as sort of a secondary issue in some of these fields, meaning that where we had these tar spot epidemics, we've got added stress. We are seeing enhanced ear rot. That doesn't mean that tar spot's causing ear rot, but we are seeing, you know, with the weather here as of late, again, it's been conducive for ear rots. And when we have those ear rots, in come the mycotoxin issues. So while I'm not concerned with tar spot causing a direct issue with mycotoxin or elevated mycotoxins, I do think it's important that folks test just so they know what they have there, because it is possible to have, you know, higher levels of ear rot and then, you know, have those mycotoxins like vomitoxin come in. You know, in Wisconsin this fall, you know, that's another added problem here. And when we were in the silage part of the season and early and mid-September, we did pick up some fields with higher vomitoxin levels. So we are looking at samples and following this throughout the rest of the fall here, and that is an added concern. And for folks with grain, if we can't get this corn crop out, it keeps raining, that's going to be something that even the grain farmers are going to need to pay attention to.
We've been talking a lot about black tar spot and stalk rot issues, mycotoxins. What are you doing or advising to farmers what they need to be doing to combat some of these issues, whether that's with precision ag technology or anything else?
So, you know, because tar spot's so new this year, it's hard to, make some intelligent management recommendations. We've been sort of trying to catch up with the fungus here and trying to learn. And like I said, myself and Dr. Nathan Klucheski's lab, we're trying to understand the nuances of the epidemic here. We do know that there could be another organism associated with the pathogen that causes tar spot. We're trying to sort that out here. It doesn't look like maybe that the complex, if you will, is the same as what we've had in Latin America. So it's important for us to figure that out, because if you don't know who you're fighting, it's hard to develop any management techniques against that complex if you just don't know what it is. So that's sort of been number one basis for us. However, we do have some ratings of hybrids and hybrid trials. We're in the process right now of coordinating some of our data across the upper Midwest states here amongst my pathology colleagues. So you'll be seeing some of that information come out this fall and into the winter meeting series. And what we're telling folks right now is, you know, just get out if you had a chance to look at some of these nearby hybrid trials and just look at the hybrids that seem to have some tolerance. We know that choosing tolerant hybrids is going to be sort of the basis of any integrated management plan, and getting those hybrids out there is going to be important. We don't know if there's any good resistance. We haven't seen a lot of hybrids that were clean. In fact, in Wisconsin here, it's hard for me to find a hybrid that doesn't have any tar spot. There's always some there. However, we do think there's some hybrids that are more tolerant than others. So that's sort of the basis. We do know that there's pretty good evidence for the organism to overwinter here, so it's going to probably be an issue again in 2019. Residue management might be important, but we don't have good data there. And so I don't think it's going to be worthwhile taking no-till acres out of no-till or anything like that, but we might look at trying to rotate, especially if we've been corn on a field for, 3, 4, 5 years or something like that, just to try to break up that epidemic a little bit. So there's some things on the cultural side that we can do there to sort of manage this. We're also taking a look at fungicide data. We've heard a lot of interest in fungicides and sort of combating this issue. The thing that I've seen from my data, and we're still in the process of trying to get harvested and pull the data in, is that I think timing is really going to be important. We heard some folks say that these early V6 applications worked good in one location, but not so good in others. And, in some of our data, we're seeing that it really was an application of fungicide. It didn't really matter so much the particular product, but the application of that product that most closely coincided with when that epidemic started seems to be the one that gave us a little better control. So, on the fungicide side of things, it's going to be a little more complicated, when we're going to have to look at that data a little more intensely this winter to try to understand how fungicide management is going to play a role here. But I think it's going to be a truly integrated approach, because, again, we don't have what we believe to be good resistance in the hybrids we have available here in the upper Midwest.
So what else should farmers be doing to prepare for 2019? Because it's hard to believe that we're at the midpoint of October right now. So these guys are going to be, and if they haven't already, started to make those plans for the year ahead.
Look really intently at your seed choices right now. And I am a little worried maybe some of the more tolerant hybrids, we may not have seed available for those. So, look hard, try to find things that performed well. The other thing that we have noticed too is that hybrids can tolerate a little bit more visual severity than we thought they could originally. In other words, when we rate ear leaves, or that leaf that's most closely associated with the ear, we can see severity levels in the 10 to 15% range, still yielding okay in some of these hybrids. So it's not the end of the world with tar spot, especially if it moves in late. One of these things that happened this season is it started much earlier than it had in the previous several seasons since we had it. When we looked in 2016 and 2017 here in Wisconsin, it was really a late season disease and really didn't impact yield, because yield was already determined when it moved in. But this year, the game changed. It moved in earlier and it did have some yield impacts for us. But with that said, some of these hybrids, again, can tolerate, some of these levels of disease. And in my experience, folks, when they look at hybrids and they tell me, oh, it was hit really, really hard, And when we actually align that with some of our rating diagrams, which are computer generated, so we know precisely what those severity levels are, it ends up being, you know, they rate out at 10 or 15%. So that can look pretty severe to the human eye. So that's one thing we need to bear in mind, is that while it looks really bad, some of these hybrids can still do quite well, you know, even having some severity, even up in the upper canopy of these plants. So, you know, again, taking a look, preparing as you're making your seed choices this year. If you had something that just didn't work well on your farm this year, I think I'd be changing out the hybrid and trying to go with something that maybe my neighbor had that looked a little better. You know, that's kind of where we're at. Until we can get some better hybrid ratings, we're going to just have to do the best we can with the materials that we have.
That's great. Damon, where can listeners go to learn more information?
Yeah, my main website is badgercropdoc.com. That is my website where you can find all information related to the field crops that we work on. Also, the Crop Protection Network is the network of North Central field crop pathologists that we have put together various publications and things of interest, especially for corn and soybeans. So those two websites are probably very informative for most of your listeners.
Thank you, Damon. I really appreciate it. This conversation has flown by.
You bet.
I'm Ashley Davenport, and I've been talking with Dr. Damon Smith. He is the Badger Crop Doc on Twitter. I'm Ashley Davenport, your host for the Ag Pro Podcast here on Farm Journal Radio.